afternoon, sisters. It's really, really lovely to be here. We had some action on my ear, so I'm still kind of like pooing, but I'm very grateful God protected us from potentially quite a crazy afternoon.
So I'm super, super, super grateful. But I have the honor, and I do want to thank Patrick for giving me the opportunity to share today and preach. It's really an honor. And when you get a title, you always ask yourself, what do I need to learn from this? And so it's with humility that I share with you today. And my title today is Getting Vision from God's Word and Prayer. And I would love to share with you Habakkuk 2, verses 2 to 3. I'm going to read in the Amplified Version, and it reads, maybe you can say when you're there. It's one of those tricky books. Awesome. So I'll read for us. It says, "Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and engrave it plainly on tablets, so that the one who reads it will run. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hurries towards the goal. It will not fail. Even though it delays, wait for it, because it will certainly come. It will not delay." And this is amazing, because Habakkuk is, I didn't really know a lot about the book, but I got to read through it and study it out and understand it better in preparation for today. And I have to say that if I was Habakkuk, I would be really perplexed, because he's a Jewish man, and he basically gets, God's basically telling him that quite imminently the Babylonian invasion is going to happen, and his people, his city, his life as he knows it's about to be. And I don't know, a lot of us in this room, there's something new we're learning, and that is the emotions journal. And I thought, well, you know, if I was Habakkuk, what would be the emotions that would go through my mind if I hear that my country is about to be annihilated by God as punishment for people's sin? And you know, in Proverbs 4:23, you don't have to turn there, it just says, above all else, guard your heart, for it's for everything you do flows from it. And this is the scripture in Patrick's study, and the emotions journal instructions. And so the emotions, if I was Habakkuk, I would feel would be alarmed, angst, apprehensive, anxious, bewildered, cautious, constrained, distressed, doubtful, fearful, horror, naive, negative, panic, self-pity, shock, surprise, suspense, terrified, troubled, vulnerable. Why, we have to write all the emotions, right? You know, so here it's amazing, because Habakkuk was clearly faced with one of two decisions he was going to make in his life. The one was, I'm going to get really super mad at God right now because he's unjust, he's unfair, I didn't cause this, I didn't sin, why me, why my people, it's not cool, God is wrong. Or he could entrust himself to God being the just God and the wonderful God that he is. And I think as women, we have that choice many times throughout our days. Mums, wives, students, professional and professional capacities, in relationships, the cashier, life happens. We always have a choice how we're going to conduct ourselves. But I don't believe that we can do it on our own strength. And, you know, here in Habakkuk, the scripture just before, it shows how he goes out. In verse 1, I believe, he goes out and he waits for God's answer. So he questions God. He asks God, why is this going to happen? But now he's waiting for God. And I love that. Mm-hmm. You know, we learned about being watchwomen last night from Andrew Patrick. And here he takes on this role by looking out and waiting for God's answer, because he knew that it would come. He also knew, he also had a vision, would get a vision from this through prayer. But he was waiting for it. He knew it would come. And even in the verse we just read, there was an assurance. It will come. God's vision will come. The word will be fulfilled. So for us today, we're going to learn about what we see here. Habakkuk had an amazing relationship with God, that he was able to trust him and had assurance that God would answer. You know, and I think my point for today is really, I just have one point, and it's that by studying God's word and prayer, we will get vision.
Amen.
We will not get it any other way, because we're prideful, we're self-sufficient, we can struggle with that. It will not work. So if we look at the word vision, if we want to define it, it's the ability to think about or to plan the future with imagination or wisdom. It made me think of the next word I wanted to define, and that's intimate. We cannot have a relationship with God if we cannot be intimate with God. And that's a very scary aspect for some of us, especially if we've been hurt. And all of us have been hurt before. But intimate is to be closely acquainted and familiar on a private and a personal capacity. It's a very close friend. If you have intimacy, it's someone very close to you.
Yeah.
And my question to you today is, can this describe your relationship with God today?
Mm-hmm.
I know for me, I can really struggle with self-sufficiency, with pride. I want to do things my way. I'm very stubborn.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't work. It doesn't work. It doesn't help me grow. It doesn't give me vision. It actually kills my vision, because I'll just stay the same. And so I'm very, very challenged by, especially Patrick's lesson. I do want to change this year. You know, our view of God is so important.
Yeah.
And that's why I love that we can deal with our emotions by doing the emotions journal.
Yeah.
You know, because it takes our focus off ourselves and it places us on God, who is perfect. And the scripture you can study in your own time is Matthew 5, verse 48. Actually, verse 48b, because it says, your heavenly Father is perfect.
Amen.
It means that we can always go to him. We can always entrust ourselves to him. Doesn't matter what situation we're in. So when we feel distant from God, it's so important to closely inspect our hearts for bitterness or unforgiveness. If we don't deal with these pains, it can be detrimental to our walk. And we will not get vision. We will not grow. And that's why it's important that we repent. And we get deeper into our Bible studies. We get deeper into our prayers. So I've got some practicals for you.
Amen.
The first one is to speak to your discipling partner about the forgiveness study.
Yes.
And commit to doing it.
Come on.
I didn't want to. I was very reluctant because I didn't want to deal with it again. I did not want to deal with something I've dealt with for 20 years of my life. But I had to realize that it's still hurting. And there's always going to be things that comes back to remind you of stuff that happened in the past. I'm very grateful for your persistence and really pushing me to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say, God really came through for me this Christmas, because I had the best Christmas I've ever had with my dad. I'm very, very grateful I was able to give my heart, and he gave his, because I was honest with him. I think maybe because of my bitterness in the past, I didn't want to be honest with him because I just didn't care. So I want to encourage all the sisters who haven't done it yet. It's time. If you want to have vision for this year and if you want to change, it's time. The second practical I would like to give you is to start an emotions journal as part of your quiet time. As part of your quiet time. It's very convicting to learn and recognize emotions, and to get hope from the scriptures, because you can actually see, oh my gosh, this is what I'm feeling, and I didn't know because I'm Afrikaans, and this word is cool. English is cool. Afrikaans is limited. We have small vocabulary, so I love it. Love learning all the words of how I can feel, because I can feel a lot.
Yes.
I love feeling. Okay. So God says in 1 Corinthians 19 verse 13 that he will always give us a way out. So if you're feeling a ton of stuff, the emotions journal is a way out. Because you're going to learn how to voice what you're feeling. I'm so impacted by Shiloh. Even gone and did studies and journals and more journals. That's super impacting. You know, and I want to share just right now as we're speaking, if it wasn't for the sisters helping me with this, I didn't know where I would have been, because as we speak right now, my sister is prayerfully having her last MRI for her cancer. So, you know, the Emotions Journal helped me to stay close to God throughout last year, because it was one in the books. And the third point I would like to share with you is to look up. You know, in Psalm 19, it says that the heavens declare the glory of God and the skies proclaim the work of his hands. We live in a city. We cannot see the stars. It takes effort to see a beautiful tree, especially if it's not blooming, you know. So I think we have to constantly stay focused and remind ourselves that this is not our home. God is not confined by what we see. He's up there. He's everywhere. So I want to encourage you to look up. And this week I had the opportunity to drive to Lanseria. And there was this beautiful garden, and I had some time just to spend, and I decided I'm going to have a date with God. And it was so amazing, and it reminded me of Jesus in the, it kind of reminded me of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. I understand why it was so special for him, because there was no distractions. It was so beautiful, so peaceful. And, you know, we need to fight to have those dates with God, those special times with God, to draw close to him. And to stay focused, to not lose our focus on the God of this city. So the fourth one is, like I said, go on dates with God, please. It really refreshed my soul. And then to make a list of your favorite promises in the Bible. The Bible is full of promises. When I was a younger disciple, I learned that with every command, there's a promise. And it changed the way I viewed God. And, you know, when we go through those tough times, have your promises that you can hold close, that you can survive. You can, it's like a surfboard. It can keep you afloat. And I want to finish with a promise of God in Habakkuk 3, verse 19. Amen. Now, I'll read it for us just for the sake of time. Though the fig tree does not bud and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the field produces no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in my Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on heights. It is God who gives us strength. It's not ourselves. We must go to his word to get food. We must pray to him to stay humble and to have the strength that we need to go about and do his work that he has set out for us to do. So my wish for you in 2020 is to have great vision because of humility. Have great vision because you are rooted in God's word and in prayer. And may you be able to stand your guard, entrust yourself to God, look to God's word and his promises for guidance, open your heart to him, just like Habakkuk, and like we're learning in the Emotions Journal, and ran, because he ran with the message. The command was for him to see the vision, to write it down, and to run. And we need to be close to God, have vision through prayer and the studying of the word, so that we can run with the good news of Jesus. Yeah. To God be the glory.
To stand before you today and speak about vision to lead out the blind. Wow. Thank you so much, Andrew and Patrick, for giving me this opportunity to share with the women. It's really great to be able to just preach to the women. You know, last year for me, one of the biggest things that blinded me from seeing like the spiritual needs around me was being self-focused. I was so focused on what I did not have. Like, I was focused, I'm 36, I'm not dating, there's no prospects. You know, and our living situation in Nigeria grew from bad to worse. It was crazy. And I just saw that I wasn't content, and I lacked the surrender. you know. And because I was so focused on myself, I hurt dear friends. I didn't go after my visions and goals with, you know, all my heart. And I didn't go about it with faith as well. And I became cynical at times. And most especially, I hurt God, you know. But I don't want to repeat that this year. This year, I'm determined to have that 2020 vision for the Lord. And you know, blindness. We know blindness is a lack of vision. It may also refer to a loss of vision that cannot be corrected with glasses or lenses. You know, partial blindness means that you have very limited vision. And complete blindness means you cannot see anything. You cannot see the light. And when people talk about blindness, they usually refer to the complete blindness. You know, in our world today, there are a lot of people who are completely blind. But they need us as women, as disciples of Jesus, to lead them out so that they can see the light. You know, my first point today, my first and only point is improve your sight to become the light. Amen. You know, when we have 20/20 vision, it helps us to have that sharpness and that clarity to see the needs around us. Please turn with me to Isaiah 43, verse 8 to 10. And in Isaiah 43, in verse 8 to 10, it says, "Lead out those who have eyes but are blind, who have ears but are deaf. All nations gather together and the peoples assemble. Which of their gods foretold this and proclaimed to us the former things? Let them bring in their witnesses to prove that they were right, so that others may hear and say, 'It is true.' You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand I am he. Before me, no God was formed, nor will there be one after me." You know, when you look at the scripture in context, God was calling the Israelites to be a light to the Gentiles around them. You know, an old fleshly Israel, they did not actually wish to be that light. You know, they didn't want to be God's witness, but God required it of them anyway. You know, some of them, they didn't want to preach to the Gentiles, but in spite of their efforts to avoid it, we know one of the greatest apostles in the Bible, Paul, he actually was an apostle to the Gentiles. You know, he allowed himself to be used by God, though the people that actually stopped him were Jewish people. You know, you remember they fasted so that they could kill him. Jonah was another example that preferred death to preaching to Nineveh. But God put him in a situation where he needed to preach the word of God. Yeah. You know, we don't want to be put in that situation like Jonah, right? You know, the blind with the eyes and the deaf with the ears, it also referred to Jews who had actually rejected the word of God. They were mixed with the pagans and learned their ways. And so even for us, we need to go after not only the lost, but those people that have been baptized and need to be restored to God. Awesome. Yeah. You know, God wants all men to come to a knowledge of the truth and so be saved. Yeah. And so when we are blind, blinding actually refers to darkening and also refers to like a hardening of our hearts. Yeah. You know, they're all the same thing. And the condition that results is sinful, you know. And when we allow our hearts to be hardened, it actually means rebellion against God. And when we rebel against God, we allow Satan to have his way. And that results to a further hardening. You know, as disciples of Jesus Christ, we need to let the light of God shine in our lives. You know, do you guys believe that God has chosen you to be witnesses, to be the light for the lost? Amen. You know, at your workplace, do people see the light of God in you? Do people know that you're a disciple? In your school, for the campus students, you know, do people see that difference in your life, in your work ethic? Do people see that special thing in you? In your neighborhood, in your household, do people know, those people living in flat 12 are different. You know, Can they see the light of God? Or are we just like the rest of the world? Yeah. You know, my encouragement to you ladies today is to believe that you're a chosen ambassador of Christ. Yeah. You know, before I became a disciple of Jesus, I was in a lot of spiritual darkness. I was going to clubs, partying, being impure. I felt super empty. I felt lonely. I thought I could find happiness in like a guy dating, you know, but I never did, you know, and I even thought of suicide at one point. I even remember the guy that I was dating before I became a disciple. I asked him if he was happy and he told me no. And at that time, I was tempted to feel like, what? I don't make you happy. But then I was like, I remembered the reason why I asked him that question. And the reason why I asked him was to see if he was feeling the same emptiness I was feeling, though we were in a relationship together. And he was. You know, but I remembered God's love for me when he allowed a brother to reach out to me almost 11 years ago. It's going to be 11 years on February 6th. You know, he eventually brought me out of that darkness, you know, and I'm so grateful for my salvation. Are you guys grateful for yours? You know, a grateful person will share what they have with others. You know, when we experience something beautiful or something special happens to us, it's natural for us to talk about it, right? You're like, man, look at what happened to me today. Look at the beautiful wedding that I went to. Look at my beautiful outfit that I bought. You know, why don't we share naturally about God? You know, do you see your salvation as special? You know, as long as we are alive, we have hope. We can repent today, right? It's a decision away. This is a new year. You can make an impact in a lot of people's lives. And the thing is, like, we know that I appreciated Marissa's prayer. Like, we know that people are hurting out there just like I was hurting, like how you were hurting before you became a disciple. And people need to be rescued. Do we see the need to rescue them? You know, when we pass people and not share with them, that's one more day we're allowing them to spend with the devil. Wow. It actually grieves the Holy Spirit. You know, not everyone would choose God, but let them shut that door for themselves.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to encourage you to think of when you were reached out to. You know, when you accepted the call and when you decided to study the Bible and when you became baptized. I mean, how did you feel? You were like, man, I'm so grateful that I'm no longer in the dark anymore. God and another disciple gave you that chance. Do not withhold God's love from people. Do not be selfish with your salvation because you might end up losing it. You know, in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 4, it says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. And who is the God of this age? Satan. You know, Satan, he does not want us to lead out those who are blind or give them vision for what God has in store for them. You know, I love this quote by Albert Einstein. He says, stay away from negative people. They have problem for every solution.
Wow.
You know, and we need to crucify Satan's lies. All that surrounds Satan is negativity. And he wants us to distract us from God's vision. And we need to know what stops us from sharing our faith, you know, so we can change. What causes spiritual blindness in evangelism? Number one, fear of rejection. How would I look in front of the person? Will I be accepted? Fear of man is a trap Satan uses to stop or discourage us from sharing our faith. We should fear God only. Judgment. We look at them and we make the decision for them that they're not open.
Wow.
You know, for me, I can struggle with this, like with Caucasian women. I can just judge and think like, man, they have everything. Like, they're not going to be open. They're going to reject me because it's happened so many times. So my vision becomes clouded. You know, example, last week I was in Discam and I was like, you know, I was like, I'm going to share my faith. I'm shopping. And I saw a white lady over there and I was like, you know, I was like, I don't see her. I'm just going to do like this. And I'm just going to escape. You know, and it's really crazy. You know, but I want to challenge all of us today to share with those who intimidate you. Share with those people that we're not likely to share with. And another thing that can stop us is laziness. We get lazy-minded. We're not even thinking about saving souls. It means that our hearts have been darkened. You know, we give time to watching TV or Netflix or movies. Another thing is selfishness, a lack of love, right? And in 2 Corinthians 5, it says, what should compel us is the love of Christ should compel us to share our faith. We also can get busy and we get distracted. You know, our house, our kids, our finances, all these areas are very important, but it shouldn't stop us from sharing our faith.
Yeah.
I want to hold up Patrick. She's an amazing example of just sharing her faith, because even in Lagos, every time we'll be in a boat or like anywhere we go, she never ceases to share her faith with the boat driver. And she has a lot of stuff going on. She has two kids. She has a husband. She has a home to take care of. But I see her and I'm like, man, she makes every opportunity to share her faith. So I wanted to hold her up for that. You know, ask yourselves, when was the last time you had a visitor to church or Bible talk? When was the last time you were in a Bible study? How many people do we actually reach out to? You know, do you believe that God can bring the increase? You know, we can make an impact. And I want to share quick practicals with you. We need to share our faith daily. You know, in Acts 5:42, after the disciples got flogged, what did they do? They went, they rejoiced, and they shared their faith day after day in temple courts from house to house. Are you sharing daily? We can't really share once a week and expect people to become disciples. You know, trust me, I've been there. Like, you cannot be mad at God because you're sharing once a day and expect people to be, you know, there's no fruit. There won't be any fruit, you know. And sometimes God may allow you to get that fruit, you know, but we really need to fight to share daily. And in Galatians 6, it tells us our labor is not in vain. Number two, share the gospel and your life, how God has changed you. It really grabs people's attention. When you start getting open about your sin, people are like, nobody's ever talked to me about their life in this way. Do you even know me? You know, a reference scripture is 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. Another practical is to pray to meet people daily. You know, when you pray about it, when you go out there and you see people walking around you, remember, okay, I prayed about this, so I need to share my faith. And a practical for that is like, you know, when you're going to the grocery store, when you go to the petrol station, I think that's what they call it here, garage, or when you're in a taxi, you can share with the people next to you. You know, once you get the number, set reminders to do follow-ups. I want to encourage you to also build relationships with the people that you guys are sharing with. Have a life talk with them. Get to know their background. You know, be creative and set daily, weekly, and monthly goals. And daily goals can be like, how many people do I want to share my faith with today? Or how many numbers do I want to collect today? Right? Another, a weekly goal can be, how many new Bible studies do I want to be in? And a monthly goal can be, how many people do I want to be fruitful with this month? Right? And share your goals with your disciples so that they can help keep you accountable. You know, one of the things I want to do this year is take up a swimming class, French class, or a dance class. Please pray for me. And use that as an opportunity to reach out to people. And if you're not effective, get advice from your discipler. And then another thing, set up sharing times with one another. It actually encourages the heart. So I pray that 2020 will be a year of vision for all of us that will lead many that are spiritually blind towards God. Thank you so much. Hi, ladies! Oh my gosh, I'm so excited just to have the opportunity to share with you guys. Patrick, thank you so much for the opportunity to share my heart on the topic, the vision to plant churches.
Yeah.
That's intense, right? Like,
I'm grateful for this opportunity, though, because it gave me an opportunity to reminisce about my time in Lagos, you know, under the Smellies leadership, planting the church there, and to also just have vision for the future of what God could possibly do with my life as well as the lives of you ladies. You know, I want to ask you, like, for you, what do you spend your time reminiscing about or even envisioning for the future, for your life? Is it God-centered or is it self-focused, right? And you know, with that, I love to look at our theme scripture so that we can see the vision that God desires for us to have.
Amen.
Our theme scripture is in 2 Corinthians 10, 15 to 16. For the sake of time, I'm just going to read that bad boy and you can read it later. So it says, "Neither do we go beyond our limits by boasting of work done by others. Our hope is that as your faith continues to grow, our sphere of activity among you will greatly expand so that we can preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. For we do not want to boast about work already done in someone else's territory," right? And from this scripture, we can pull out three main things. One, the work done by others to spread the gospel does not excuse us from needing to do the same.
Amen.
Two, it also takes faith to have actions that will lead to the spreading of God's word. Because sometimes we can just do things and be dutiful, but we need to do everything in faith. Because
right.
If it's not in faith, it's sin, right? Mm-hmm. And three, we need to preach the gospel not only where we live, but also in other regions.
Amen.
That's how the world will be evangelized, by us going to all nations. So with that, I have 2 points. The vision to go and the vision to grow.
Amen.
All right. So let's talk about the first point, the vision to go. We know in Luke 14:33, it says, "Unless we give up everything, we cannot be Jesus's disciple." Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that means that we need to have the desire to go anywhere,
do
anything, and give up everything for the gospel. You know, the Great Commission commands us to make disciples of all nations, not just our own nation, you know, because we can feel comfortable talking to people of our own ethnicity.
Right.
And the truth is, when we come out of the waters of baptism, we are all missionaries.
Right.
You know, sometimes we don't think that we're missionary until we've been sent someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is that we receive the Great Commission after we say Jesus is Lord. And
that's
everywhere
right.
that we go, we are a missionary. We are a tool to be used by God to help others to come into the knowledge of Christ.
That's right.
Do you see yourself as a missionary?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you waiting to go somewhere to say, okay, now I'll start my missionary work, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to have that heart. And then also, you know, as disciples, especially for the younger disciples or for the disciples that are younger, we can realize that, hey, we have the Great Commission as our purpose, but we're also trying to figure out, like, what's my real purpose in life? Like, what am I supposed to do? I don't know if you've ever felt that way. Like, you're trying to figure out, like, what am I supposed to do with my life? The truth is, you learned it when you said Jesus is Lord, right? Like, our purpose is to seek and save the lost.
Yes.
And God will show us in what capacity we're supposed to do that.
Yes.
If you were called and you were in school at that time, then amen, you're supposed to seek and save the lost until you get that degree. And if you get a job, you know, in that area, you're supposed to seek and save the lost there.
Yeah.
If you are in the process of trying to, you know, grow in an area, like whatever area God has put on your heart to work towards or to give your heart to, you're supposed to seek and save the lost in that area. So that is your purpose.
Come on.
But you know, I remember going to a GLC and hearing, I don't remember who said it, but I remember hearing it. They said that the kingdom of God is built on broken dreams.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was like, wow, that's so true. You know, because when I first became a disciple 8 years ago, I had a dream. Like, my plan was to continue to work in the field that I was in and then go back to school and become a clinical psychologist. That was my dream. That was my heart's desire at that time. But after becoming a disciple, there were many things that I had to give up. Not even had to. It became a privilege once I realized what I was gaining. You know, we can feel like, man, I gotta give this up. Like, I can't do this. I can't do that. Not realizing all that we're gaining being a part of God's kingdom and even doing the work of the Lord. But you know, I realized that, you know, in order to fulfill God's dream of evangelizing the world, I had to release the lifestyle that I was used to living.
Yeah.
You know, I had to realize that, okay, comfort does not equal like righteousness. Like, I mean, I can be comfortable and it's nice, but is that helping my heart? You know, not to say that it's bad to be comfortable, but if it gets in the way of you being like Christ, you need to be willing to give that up.
That's right.
Like going to a third world country, you know, and living in an environment that you're not used to. You know, you gotta ask yourself, ladies, what are you afraid or struggling to give up in order to do the work of God? What is it right now that if God said, I want you to let this go, you would be like, God, I don't know if I can. You know, is it a job? Is it a career choice? Is it a relationship? Is it a characteristic that you feel comfortable with within yourself that does not honor God?
Mm.
You want to get open about that. We're going to have a D group today. Get open about the things that are stopping you from having the heart to plant churches and to be Christ-like.
Mm.
You know, the truth for me, you know, at times when we have a hard time letting things go, we're really operating in what is said in Romans 1:25, where it talks about that, you know, we can worship the created thing instead of the creator. So when we get our value from anything outside of the work of God, we're worshiping what God created instead of our creator, which is God. And we're really missing out because we're not living the true life God has for us.
Yeah.
You know, for me, when I made the, well, when I had to, when I made the decision to go into the mission team to Lagos, like, I had to, you know, really research to figure out what I was getting myself into. So let me tell you, like, in America, I don't know what it is. When you research about third world countries, like, the absolute worst comes up. Like, I remember sitting in my car the Friday before we flew out. I think it was Tuesday that we flew out. And I remember, like, crying my eyes out because I read articles about, like, you know, expats, they get raped, they get kidnapped, like, you know, radical Muslims will flog you on the street if you say Jesus is Lord. And I remember just, like, crying my eyes out, like, God, I'm gonna die when I get there. Like, it's true, I'm about to be a martyr for you, like, you know, and I literally had to mourn my life, you know. And even, like, I mourned, like, not only my life in America, but just my life in general. Because
yes.
I was like, I may never see my family again. I may never see, you know, the disciples that I know that live in the States again. But you know what? I'm ready.
Yeah.
I'm ready to lay down my life for God, you know?
Yeah.
And even though there were fears there, I didn't allow my fears to control me. You know, when fears come, we have two choices. You know, we can either be a coward, which will send us straight to hell. You know, we choose not to respond.
Yeah.
Or we can be courageous,
amen,
which is acting in the face of fear.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I'm going to be courageous, God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to feel all this fear, but I'm going to go. You know, and I'm so grateful that God allowed me to go.
Come on, Ari.
Which leads me to my second point.
Right,
the vision to grow.
Amen.
When I got to Lagos, you know, I truly understood the scripture in Hebrews 5:7-9. And that's where Jesus is talking about with loud cries and tears, he offered up prayers and petitions to the one who could save him. And it was through his suffering that he learned obedience and ultimately became the savior of the world. I paraphrase, but you can read it in your own time. But we see here from Jesus's life, he learned obedience not from the miracles that God worked through him, but through the suffering that he endured. We're Christ-like, right? So that means that we're going to learn in the same capacity. Do you run from pain? Like, pain is one of God's special tools to produce righteousness in us. I am learning that so much, you know. And even in Lagos, when I got there, I learned that firsthand. You know, I didn't know, but for a lot of my discipleship, I walked around with low-grade anger. Patrick, thank you for helping me to see that. I remember when she told me that one D time, I was like, what is that? But it was spot on. I walked around with low grade anger. It's not like I was like in people's face. Like, that wasn't me, right? Sorry, that wasn't me, right? But in my heart, I had anger. When there's anger there, we put walls up. When there's anger there, we're not vulnerable. When there's anger there, we're not trusting. Like, all these emotions was a part of my walk with God and my relationship with disciples, you know? And it was God allowing me to go to Lagos that actually was exposed. Like, Lagos was the perfect storm for my heart to be exposed. Mm-hmm. And I'm so grateful that God did it in Lagos. Like, He really loves us, and He knows the capacity that we can take. He even knows what we will run from. Mm-hmm. And if in Lagos what happened would have happened in the States, I don't know if I would be standing here, because I would have ran, and I would have had the resources to run. But God put me in a place where He's like, I'm going to show you how ugly your heart is towards me, how much you don't trust me, how much you don't believe in me, how much you don't know how much I love you. And then I'm going to put you in a place where you can't do nothing about it, except either fight for your walk with God or leave and go back to a world of just craziness. And I'm grateful for God and His kingdom. I'm so grateful to you, Patrice, just like loving me and having vision for me, because I would not be here. But ultimately, my heart would never have been exposed if I didn't go to a foreign land and entrust my life to God, you know? And during that time, it wasn't easy. You know, like Tina said, we lived in a household, was it 13, 14? 14 women! A three-bedroom household of 14 women! Like, literally, everywhere you went was a sister. The way y'all were sitting, there would have been sisters sleeping on every single one of these chairs, like, in the hallway. And you're like, good morning, sis. It's crazy. And I was like, God, I can't remember having my own place. Like, what is this? And then I remember, like, the water. Like, it was so filthy. Not only did it have dirt in it, it had worms in it. And I'm, like, trying to wash my hair. I got locks. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to determine what's up in there. And I was just like, God, what am I supposed to do? But guess what? I wouldn't take none of that back. Because it taught me so much. It taught me to be selfless. It taught me not to be self-focused about how I look and get my value from myself. It taught me to care more about others than myself, because the money that I got, that we got, went to the sisters, because they didn't have any money a lot of times. They didn't have food any a lot of times. Imagine every time you cook, someone looking at you with hungry eyes, like, sis, what you cooking? You know, sometimes, real talk, you can feel like I have nothing to myself. But I learned that, man, I need to become more selfless. I wouldn't take back anything. Wow. I wouldn't take it back. And if I didn't go into the mission field, I wouldn't have experienced this. You know? And we, not only that, like, when we go into the mission field, we learn God to be a comforter, a provider, a father, a companion, a nurturer. All these characteristics that you can't experience unless you physically go through something that requires you to look to God in that way. So, let's say, you gotta ask yourself, God, am I ready to be a missionary for you? And God, am I ready to fight and sacrifice and go through the pain that it will cause, that it will take to plant the church? If so, then here are some practicals to prepare yourself to be that missionary. One, you know, you want to study the culture that, you know, you're going to. And right now, we have the crown of thorns. You may not know where you're going, but you know where the movement's vision is, right? Yes. Let's start looking. What's the next date that's coming up? Start looking. I'm finding out about that country, because you just might be called to go. Okay. You know? And this also helps us to adapt quickly when we get there. It also helps us not to offend anybody when we get there, because we understand the culture. Also, you want to, you know, make sure that you bring comfortable clothes if you're asked to go, you know. You don't want to offend anyone with your clothes, and you also want to be respectful and also be prepared. Like, Lagos is hot. You go there with some silk shirts, you're going to be baking walking out. Talking about sharing with someone with, like, sweat drenching. Like, nobody can talk to you, you know? And research the leading religious beliefs in that area so that you can be prepared to be an effective tool for God. You know, don't go there ignorant. We don't have to be ignorant. We have the internet, Google. He can help us with everything. Or she. I don't know if it's a he or she. I don't know. But ultimately, you want to have the heart to be ready to give your heart. You know, even for me, ladies, I don't know where God is calling me. I don't know what is in store for my future. You know, but what I do know is that wherever God takes me, whatever pain I experience is for my glory. And I know the same is true for you. Thank you for letting me share.
beautiful sisters. Great hugs, just like a GLC.
I know.
Let's give the sisters that taught us and part of the lessons another hand. An incredibly powerful time, it's a privilege to be in God's kingdom. It's a privilege to be a part of a winter workshop. You know, right now Kudzai is in Zimbabwe and she can't get back into South Africa right now, so pray for her, but she needs fellowship. Like, what would she give to just be in this room and just listen to what's happening? You know, Nigeria, Lagos is having their workshops today also. Oh. You know, Kate and Tawani get to go, but you know, their heart's desire is to be here.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Kate misses us and she wants to be here. So this is a privilege, an honor to be taught from people's lives. Mm-hmm. I pray that we can all have quiet times on these lessons. I'm going to start tomorrow. This is what I do. So tomorrow, my first lesson is going to be, well, I'm going to finish up Andrew's lesson. Mm-hmm. But, and then the other lessons, but I'll get to these lessons. But we want to make sure that we get to them and we really go through the practicals and let them change our lives. Amen. I want to also encourage you guys to set three goals for yourself. Actually, four. Right? So one from each lesson. There were three lessons. That was my lesson. There were three charges after. But set some goals. Some goals for your life, for who you're going to be. You know, sometimes I think we try to set like four goals from each lesson. That's 12. That's 14. For the extra, that's 14. Like 4 times 4. 8. Just that one. You know, make it doable. And then maybe you can go back later and set another goal. But I'm just really grateful for what we learned today. You know, from my lesson, Vision That Fully Trains. I'm so grateful how God's Word guides us. So we understand what it means to be trained. You know, I appreciate the quote, true wisdom is knowing what you don't know.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? Because I always think true wisdom is knowing what happens beyond the solar system. It's like, no, it's not. It's knowing what you don't know. It's real simple, right? And, you know, and we need to be taught so that we can get from one place in our lives to another. Like, we don't know what we're doing. So let's make our teachable moments count. And imitate, because those who do not imitate anything produce nothing. I love that quote. You know, Jeanette, thank you so much for your lesson, Vision from God's Word and Prayer. I just love how you broke down Habakkuk, and then you did an emotion shot. If I was Habakkuk, this would have been my emotion. I'm like, oh my, that is sweet right there. I loved it, right? And then she talked, she asked the question, is your relationship with God intimate?
Mm-hmm.
And I love how you said, when you feel distant from God, inspect your heart for bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times, you know, some people can think, oh, I feel distant because, you know, this was just a phase of my life. No, you feel distant because you're in sin. Like, just figure out what it is. And then she gave us the great practical to do the forgiveness study. This study, I'll tell you, it's hard, especially when it comes to someone who's really hurt you. It's so hard to do, but it will bring so many rewards. And also do your emotions journal, because that's your way out. That is your way out, so you will learn to identify how you're feeling. And then I love how Jeanette encourages to make a list of God's promises.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to getting to your lesson, Jeanette, to do my quiet time there, making a list of the promises of every one of us. We're gonna gravitate to different promises because of who we are and where we're at. And so let's do that. And then Tina, Vision to Lead Out the Blind.
Yes.
This is our purpose. You know, I'm so proud of Tina. You know, God just brings blind people to her.
Yeah.
I'm talking about spiritually blind.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I love how she defined partial blindness and complete blindness and told us that you cannot see the light. When you're completely blind, you can't even tell there's light. You can't even perceive the light. And I love her point. We're all entering, you know, our debut of being a rap artist. You know, complete your sight to become, girl, I missed your point. Complete your sight to become the light?
Mm-hmm.
Was that it?
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm
sorry.
I
know
it's
improve your sight.
I'm sorry?
Improve your sight.
Okay, improve. Okay, complete, right? But amen, improve. And there are ways to improve our sight, even our eyesight. You know, there are different foods you can eat, different vitamins you can take. But spiritually, we need to really focus on improving
our spiritual vision. You know, Tina asked us, do you believe that God has chosen you to lead others to the light? Like, do you believe that? I think sometimes we got to just sit and meditate. Because sometimes I don't think we believe that. We're just going through the motions. And we don't want to do that. We want to, because when you believe it, you walk out there and you see those women, you're like, get over here. I got something to tell you. Now, we don't say that to them. Get over here. That's just very off-putting, right? But we're like, oh, you got to hear it. Some people are having conversations. Like, you know, sometimes you're talking to a cashier, you're being rung up, and she's talking to somebody else, and you're like, hi. Like, I have something to say. You got to stop that side conversation because I need to talk to you right now, right? You know, can people see God's light in you? Can your neighbors, because sometimes our neighbors don't see God's light. They see Satan. Yeah. Throw a ball into their yard. You might pop the ball. You might have a little fit. It's like, but we got to show people God. She asked us. She said to us, if you're grateful for your salvation, you will tell others. Like, how do you share your faith? We just share in a way so people can see. Let's repent today of what stops us from letting our light shine and sharing our faith.
Amen.
And share what God has done for you. And then Ariel's lesson, vision to plant churches. I just love the way you put your lesson together. I love the way you shared about Legos and what you went through, but I loved her points. The vision to go and the vision to grow. Now her points rhymed. Look, everybody You know, I love how Ariel said, you know, when we studied the Bible, we committed to be willing to go anywhere, give up everything and do anything. Do you guys remember?
Yeah.
You know, when you're asked that question, you're like, this is serious. Like, what do you mean, go anywhere? Like, I mean, I'll go to New York. Right? And it's like, and I remember people asked me if I would, like, go to, like, Iran or Iraq. And when I studied the Bible, you know, 18 years ago, it was like, no. I'm like, why would God ask me to go to that bomb burning place? But I was like, you know what? If God wants me to go there, why wouldn't I go? He will protect me. He'll guide me. But are you still committed to this? Are you still committed to going anywhere? Giving up everything? You know, Ariel shared, it's a privilege to give up what we did to come into the kingdom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what are you struggling with now to give up to be who God wants you to be? Yeah. Like, do you still have that same heart when you got baptized? And I loved how she talked about pain.
Yeah.
And she said, pain teaches us invaluable lessons.
Yeah.
It does. A lot of us don't want to believe that. We want to think pain has no purpose except to annoy us and make us struggle in our walk with God. And it's just not true. Like, pain is a gift. You know, Andrew talked about the gift of pain in one of his lessons. Are you learning from your pain? And are you ready to be a missionary? And, you know, I think sometimes we think of what a missionary is, and it's just not. You know, or we have, like, this horrible concept of it. But, you know, when I look at my life, I'm a missionary. I've never, until I went to Lagos, I was at maybe 2 years after Lagos, I never considered myself a missionary. I never said to someone, I'm a missionary. But when you get converted in your city, you don't see yourself as a missionary. You got to leave that city. It takes a special person to stay in the city and see that. But sisters, let's be ready to preach the gospel wherever we live.
Amen.
No matter where it is. Amen?
Amen.
So what we're going to do right now is we're going to break up into discipling groups, and we're going to break up into two groups. One group is going to be the married woman. Right? And you know what? This is going to be Ariel's first married Steve-o. You know? I remember after I got married and I got to be around the married woman, I was like, this is so different. I didn't know that you had these struggles. Oh my gosh, because married women change. You know, when you get married, they start sharing on a different level. And I'm like, girl, I just got married. I'm not ready to hear that. But you got to get ready. Amen. And then I'm going to lead that one. And married sisters, we'll convene right here. And then we're going to have another D group with the singles on the campus. Campus, you guys are going to meet in the back. And I'm not putting you in the back, so I'm trying to put you in the back of the bus, right? Somebody has to meet in the back. But I love you guys. Let's get vulnerable. I pray that you see these D groups as a safe place. Let's get vulnerable. Let's share our hearts. We're going to end with a prayer, so you don't need to pray when you start your discipling group. And we will have until 5 o'clock. Right? So, sisters, when I say we have until 5 o'clock, that means we need to be out of this room at 5 o'clock. So,
They're a little bit flexible.
Okay.
The next group in here is 6 o'clock, but I see at latest. So, if we run over,
Okay, great. So let's end our discipling groups at 5. Okay, so I'm promptly at 5. And then if someone's in the middle of something, maybe we can just go and grab a coffee and continue talking, okay? But I love you guys. Have an incredible discipling group.
Amen.
So, Poppy, is this your phone?
Yeah.
Okay.